This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Still to come in this hour, mean text. You still have time to get creative and text in those mean things that you want to say to us. The text number for you, 206-421-3776. That's 421-ESPN. It's powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. That will come up later on in this hour. Meanwhile, we do this every single week. It's time for our exclusive Pete Carroll conversation, little preview with the voice of the Seahawks, Steve Rabel.
All right, Pete. Well, thanks for joining us again. And I know you've been asked this 100 times, so let me officially be the 101st person to ask you, what's practice been like this week without Russ at the controls? And maybe more importantly, how much of a difference has it really made having Geno at the controls?
Well, I think it's a good question for everybody to ask because everybody's so curious because we've been this way for so long with Russ Rowland. I think everybody would be that could see it and watch what's going on would be really pleased to see how Geno has just transitioned right into it. He's so sharp at what we do. He's right on point with all of the communications. He's quick to fix and adjust and cite things and all of that. So everything has, the rhythm of everything has been the same. And that's really good. And that's really positive because the players feel comfortable with that. Geno is he's a really good thrower. He's got a great arm. He's got all of the tools to do stuff. So the offense looks the same in that the style of things that we're doing. And so that's a real good, it's a real good point. And we're tweaking some stuff that Geno particularly is good at and likes and just as we always would. But it's been a very solid week of competition and guys battling and they know we're fighting to get right.
Yeah, it's interesting because we're kind of in the same boat here. I've not broadcast a game in the last decade without Russell Wilson starting a quarterback, and you haven't coached the Seahawks in a decade without having him start. I'm wondering, we in the old days were always told, hey, next man up, go play. But it's different with the quarterback, isn't it?
Well, to some extent. However, because that is the way, you know, that's how you do it. Really, we haven't flinched, and we've just gone about our business and gone right after it and just went after the game plan in really similar fashion to try to keep everything moving and in sync. And it feels like that's what we've been able to do.
Do you find yourself with the opportunity to maybe stand and chat with Russ a little more than you would in a normal practice? Because he's out there in all the drills now. You can actually stand beside him and ask him questions. He can ask you things.
Yeah, we have been able to communicate more because he hasn't been as active a part. However, he is actively every rep. He is going through it mentally, and he's going through all of the calls he has to make and everything that's on the sidelines. But he's doing it, and so he's immersed in it. But yeah, it was happening on the sidelines too. You know, Rabes, when we went during a game, you know, all of a sudden I'm talking to Russell and we're on offense. You know, what's that all about? You know, just I'm kind of looking at him like, God, I've never had this reference before. It was unusual and uncomfortable in a sense.
Yeah, and you don't want to have to do it too many more times in your coaching career. What else has to happen? What else has to happen on offense now that Russ is out, or regardless of the fact that Russ is out? What do you need to do better to win this game, both on offense and defense?
Yeah, well, I think just in the basics of it, we really have to balance ourselves out and make sure that we have the balance that allows Geno to be comfortable, and so that we can make him available for the play action game and all that kind of stuff. We have to put the ball on the ground and hammer it some, that's no different than what we would always like to do. We're so accustomed to Russ being able to take whatever throws we need to call on. So I just want to make sure that we're really got a balanced attack at it, and we still want to be explosive. We still want to go for it, you know. And Geno's got all that arm, and he's been throwing the ball over the yard all week. He's ready to go to do that.
I heard Matt Hasselbeck say earlier in the week something to the effect that don't play hero football, play assignment football. In other words, don't try to do too much. Don't try to cover for somebody else. Do your job and do it as it's assigned, and you'll end up playing a lot better. Does that kind of sound like a good coaching point?
Yeah, well, Matt was in our meetings long enough to hear that a bunch of times, even back then. You know, that's such a big part of performance. You know, it's taking care of what you can control and controlling it well and to the point where you can be held accountable. You know, and that's so important. Getting outside of yourself, getting outside of the scheme just jeopardizes and puts you in harm's way. good things just can't consistently happen when you do that. So it's really believing in the preparation and believing in the plan and believing in the guys around you that allows you to be comfortable and play your game. And then if we can count on everybody to do that, we're really hard to beat.
This is Wyman and Bob, and you're listening to our exclusive conversation with Pete Carroll and the voice of the Seahawks, Steve Rabel.
You said earlier this week that the defense has made mistakes, and actually you felt like you weren't doing enough. You said, because all these guys are experienced, they all understand, so I must not be doing something right to tell them how we need to go about fixing this. How does that translate into practice? Is it more meetings? Is it more focus at practice? What is it?
No, it's really, I mean, first off, you know, I'm holding myself accountable, you know, to start this thing off. And as we move it on down, everybody's got to do the same. And that's part of the process of getting well and getting right and fixing things and all. But it's continuing to investigate how we can get our guys in the best positions to be most creative and the most productive. And so we're, as it is, it's five games in, there's still some things that we can tweak and do better. And adjusting, you know, what we've been doing is necessary. It's necessary. And so that's it's always like that. And sometimes you push the adjustments more at times than others. But we have to continue to keep evolving to get us right. And we need that pass rush to come alive. We need to do the things to complement that in the secondary.
And I was going to say, sometimes that includes personnel decisions that you have to make. Sure. And you made one this week with Trey. You're traveling back to Pittsburgh. The Steelers, they look like they're improving now after they lost three straight. So they've got a talented, aggressive defense. I mean, these names, Watts, Ingram, Hayward, Hayden, Bush, right on down the line. I don't mean to discourage you, but you got a lot facing, and Geno has a lot facing.
That's okay. That's just reality. That every week it's names and stars and great players and all that. Well, these guys have their way. They've got their style of playing that's been proven over a long period of time. They're very aggressive, and they try to attack and disrupt. And so it isn't easy at all for Geno. He's going to have those guys, you know, firing off the edges and all of that. They don't blitz a lot, but they do try to make it hard on you by mixing the ways that they play. I think this is it's a good challenge for Geno. He's got really good guys on both edges that can make things happen. We've got to help him by protecting him really well and keep mixing so that they can't zero in on him.
Yeah, and as you said earlier, we got to run the football a little bit better. How's Chris doing? How are those guys doing as the week goes on in practice?
Well, you know, Chris, we'll see at the end of the week, see what the situation is with him. He's much improved, but yet still not cleared. You know, he's not cleared to get back yet. I'm really fired up about Rashad Penny coming back next week. He'll be back next week, cleared to come. He's ready to go right now, and he's one more week on IR to get there. So we'll build that back up. The other fellas are doing good and ready to play.
Ben Roethlisberger has been around a long time, 18 years. He's fought through injuries. He's done just about everything you can do as a quarterback, won Super Bowls. What does he still do well? What is it that you guys are looking at defending against him?
18 years. I was a young coach at USC back then. God, it just seems like he's been here forever. It seems like he's just been the fixture forever and a great player at that. He continues to make things happen. He's so savvy. The way he's done it over the years is by being a big, strong guy in the pocket and being able to just subtly move and withstand the bodies banging around him and still make, and convert plays and make big plays. He's still doing that. You know, he had last week in their win over Denver, he had two big plays that he made up the sidelines that were just phenomenal throws. And so they have him throwing the ball very quickly. The ball's out of his hands just as fast as the NFL can allow it. And that means that the ball's on the perimeter a lot. So he uses their perimeter passing game for some of their running game. And so that's why their stats are a little bit skewed in the run game. But it allows him to play with all of the smarts, you know, and the experience. And then when you come after him, he ain't letting you get him. I mean, he just won't let it happen. You know, he's just too savvy, and the ball's coming out.
This is Wyman and Bob, and you're listening to our exclusive conversation with Pete Carroll and the voice of the Seahawks, Steve Rabel.
I know you like numbers like this, too, and I'm sure you know this number. He's got 9 career touchdown passes, 9 over 80 yards.
Yeah.
Now, granted, that's over an 18-year career, but that's tied with Brett Favre for best in the National Football League. That means he's not afraid to chuck that ball downfield either.
Well, we don't want him to own that record after this weekend. Okay.
Okay.
I like being tied with Favre. He's always been explosive. He's always had an eye for taking the shot down the field, and he's always had good receivers to go to. Claypool is a really good receiver. He's the guy that he really relies on, to get the ball downfield and make the big plays. He's the fastest, biggest guy. Deontay Johnson is a really nice player as well. It's a little different for them in that they don't have Juju. Smith-Schuster, right. That he's a real nice player for them. That he's out, but they've got plenty of firepower, and Najee Harris is really, really an exciting player for them. You know, he's doing everything. He's the leading receiver. He's their leading rusher, and he's a hammer. He has 232 pounds.
Yeah, I was going to say he's bigger than I thought he was. Yes. Wow, he's one to look up and early and often. Finally, I got to congratulate you on the play design. How anybody can draw up a double punt and make it work, that's incredible, but that's a tribute to your coaching ability.
Well, you know, that's the kind of thing, you know, with good vision early on, you start working on, you know, and you just kind of,
exactly,
you develop it over years, and then finally when the time comes up, you kick it off of one of their guys, you make it spin,
yes,
spin on its end, and then you scoop it up and kick it again. And utilize all of the advantage of the rules that when you punt the ball for the second time, your lineman can go downfield. Who knew? Who knew? I know I should be embarrassed to say that after all these years, I don't know that rule, but I've never come across anybody who did know that rule, and I've been asking about. You know, nobody knows that one, but the officials did, which was incredible by them and to their credit. And when I called the league office, I said, "Are you sure guys can go downfield on that second kick as well?" And sure enough, so what a great savvy play by Mike. I don't know. I've never seen a play that was any better than that in the kicking game. I mean, there's been some great returns and all, but I've never seen a play with all of that happening. And then, and not just scooping the ball, but then making a kick. But not just making a kick. He kicked it 60-something yards, too. You know,
And down inside the five. And the guys never quit. The guys hustled downfield and made the play downfield.
I've got a picture on my wall up right up here behind my desk of Willie Mays making that catch at the Polo Grounds. Yeah. You know, the thing I loved about that play wasn't that the catch was the greatest thing. It was that he turned around and threw the guy and doubled him off at second. You know, it was the throw. So likewise, it wasn't just the kick and then the scoop, but then it's the punt. You know, it's the punt at the end. He nailed it, too. So that was an amazing play.
It was an amazing play. Pete, good luck to you this week. Good luck the rest of the practice, and it's a long trip back and a big Sunday night game. We'll talk more about that next time.
All right.
There you go. It happens every week. Exclusive conversation between the head coach, Pete Carroll, and the voice of the Seahawks, Steve Raybould. Anything grab you there? Anything catch your ear, Dave?
Yeah, a little bit. We witnessed history. I'm quite sure that'll never happen again.
The punt?
The double punt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were joking around about it. I still think he was past the line of scrimmage, but yeah, that was it was kind of interesting. And yeah, I mean, so many things had to happen for that to occur. I mean, the ball was spinning on the ground, and he just kind of reached down and picked it up. But it
with
was
one hand.
The thing that they just talked about and that I was impressed by is that the punt team continued to go down and down the ball and everything. You know, if they would have forgotten about it and, you know, maybe.
Were you ever on punt coverage on special teams?
Yeah, I loved punt teams.
So would you even be aware? Because your back's to the play. So you're just running downfield. Would they even be aware? So that
you hear the crowd. Yeah, the one time we got a punt blocked, it was in Philly. And you hear, you know, the double thump is pretty, that's a bad sound.
Okay.
It's the ball off the foot and then off somebody's hands.
So you feel like at that point you're stopping and turning around and going,
yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. And you can kind of react to what the other guy's doing. If all of a sudden, you know, they're not running downfield and blocking, they're going after the ball. You get lots of indicators that something went wrong. But again, they got to fix that, man. It's happened a number of times. I think there was one time in Buffalo where I thought that the Pittsburgh Steelers should have blocked a punt and they didn't. Then they did block a punt and got a touchdown out of it. And we've had problems with that here. Obviously that play nobody thinks about because it was such an amazing play, but you let a guy come running free and block a punt. That's a killer. It's a game killer. 90%
they didn't do
of
it
the
right,
time.
Dave.
Yeah, they didn't do it right. 90% of the time. You just don't, you're going to win a game if you get a blocked punt. But yeah, some of the other things, I love the way Pete talks. I always say that, but he says that Gino's a great thrower. I like that. He's a good, because he'll say guys are good catchers. He's
good
a really
catcher.
Good catcher.
Good catcher of the football.
But, you know, he was saying that, you know, Ross is out there just going through every single rep mentally with them out at practice. And so, and then the other thing that, you know, I thought that stood out, he says, we still want to go for it. And what he was talking about is throwing the ball deep every once in a while. I mean, he's going to take – he wants to take shots downfield. Pete wants to run the ball, and he wants to take shots downfield. And he thinks that Geno can do that. Did you see anything that indicated he can't? I mean, there wasn't –
No, that touchdown pass to DK Metcalf wasn't a little, you know, dump-off pass. That was a decent distance, and it was accurate.
It was on the line, too.
That's what his accuracy is what impressed me.
Yeah.
Because that's not what I've seen from him at practice. And I understand his practice, but I don't recall ever being at a practice and walking away going, man, Geno looked pretty sharp out there. I haven't had that moment. Right. And again, acknowledging, I don't see every practice. I'm sure he's had great moments, but that's what made it so surprising to watch his just control at the line of scrimmage, making the checks, and then B, his accuracy. He was on the mark outside of the play where Lockett falls down and gets picked off. But, you know, is that what we're going to see this weekend? I don't know. I think it is a different set of circumstances. You've got a week for the opposition to plan for you now. You have a week to plan for them and really get into thinking and maybe overthinking. Maybe it's, you know, paralysis by overanalysis, that whole thing. So we'll see. I don't know what to expect from Geno, to be honest. That was very cool to see, and it gave you a little bit of confidence. He's certainly capable, but what does a week of now – I just think there is a benefit to not even being allowed to get caught up in the emotion or the thought of what am I going to do? Hey, you're in, go. And you're just, oh, okay, boom. And you're just functioning on instinct almost.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very impressed by the fact that he was able to come in and do it. If you're a defensive coordinator in Pittsburgh, now they have 10 sacks, I believe, 8 or 10 sacks. And they're about middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the Pittsburgh Steelers had 56 sacks. And they're top five almost every year. If you're Keith Butler, and you've got Geno Smith coming in, and he doesn't have a running game, really, I would blitz.
Yeah, I was going to say, you send the house after that guy and just make him as uncomfortable as possible, as often as possible.
I think you can expect that. You know, and Pete said in the interview there with Rabes that they're not running a lot of blitzes. I think that's going to change this weekend. And that's exactly what
the Steelers aren't?
The Steelers are not blitzing very much, is what Pete said. So, you know, and a lot of times you can't tell necessarily because they'll drop one guy and it'll be same number of rushers. To me, whenever you have just four guys rushing, it's not a blitz, even if you drop a lineman back and bring a DB. But, you know, it just depends on how you want to categorize it. But they have not been, as you said, bringing the house. It's not been that kind of – they just gotten pass rush with their normal, you know, four. They're down Bud Dupree from last year.
So Geno Smith, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you there. Geno Smith actually was asked about that yesterday, and he said he's expecting a little more pressure from them. Let me fire it up here.
Yeah, I mean, it's not difficult to game plan. You got to go off what you see on tape. You know, that's what they call. You got to go off what you see on tape. Now, am I expecting pressure? You know, probably so early on. You know, they're going to test me. I'm pretty sure. So, you know, that's something I'm expecting, and I'll be ready for it.
I'll be ready for it.
Well, hopefully the play caller's ready for it. Hopefully they're calling plays that will adjust to that sort of, hey, we got to get rid of the ball, whether it's establishing that run game, which you imagine becomes harder without Chris Carson.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be – I'm not sure how different the offense would be called. You know, they say he's got full access. He's – you know, the playbook is the same for him as it is for Russell. But in terms of which plays are being called out there that they're telling him to call, how much different might it be without Chris Carson and with Geno in there?
Yeah, I think – pretty differently. I mean, you're not going to go entirely outside of what your offense already is, but that's the thing. You know, you put in during camp all of these, and so I'll use the defensive side of the ball. You got all of these different defenses, and then, you know, during the week you pare it down to what works best against your opponent coming up. So yeah, they'll find some things that help out Geno, and maybe it'll be a chance for our tight ends to start getting targeted. You know,
some quick hitters, some little. Yeah. You know, slants, something underneath, something that we don't see a ton of.
Right.
And it could be a big day for the tight ends. And Everett sounds like he's chomping at the bit to get out there. Yep. He was ready last week. So, I don't know. It's there are a lot of reasons you could point to situations like that where you go, okay, maybe it could actually be even better than what we've seen to this point because we haven't seen a lot of the underneath stuff. Taking advantage of what the defense is giving you. Maybe Geno's going to be more apt to do that because he's not trying to press. He's not going to try to chuck it down the field. So maybe that's a benefit. It's hard to argue against the negatives that are there, though, that he is a backup for a reason, that you do have a backup running back in there, that this team is not, to this point, a great run-blocking offensive line. they're a two-win team, just like the team you're facing. They're not, you know, so, yeah, we're fans of the team, but if you're being objective and going in there, well, they should win this game. Why?
Yeah, why? Well, because they have the same record.
They got the same record, and you're playing with a backup quarterback. If Russell was – I mean, they were having trouble with Russell there.
Yeah.
With one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Well, no, that's
running
a
the show,
point.
You were having problems.
Yeah, and I think that if you were going in there with Russell Wilson, would you necessarily expect to win?
Not necessarily. I'd feel better about it. I'd feel more sure. confident in predicting a win. I'm not predicting a win this weekend.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really hard to win. But yeah, I mean, even with that. But this all stems back to – the defense. And again, like Pete said famously last year, I don't have enough space in my brain for whatever he was talking about. I only have space in my brain for this defense and to see them just do their jobs.
All right. Coming up, the Kraken get win number one, but might have done something more important in the process. We'll tell you what that is next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up in less than 15 minutes, Mean Text. It's the way we end the show every week on Friday. So you still have time to text in your submissions, 206-421-3776. That's 421 ESPN. It's powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company.
Have they gotten any better?
Some of them have, yeah. There was one that was kind of long, but I thought it was pretty good that I gave to Lefko or brought to his attention. Okay. It was about you, but it was kind of clear.
All right, let's bring it on. Was it the one that said that I look like I have pterodactyl breath?
No.
How does somebody look see that when one. It looks like they have bad breath? What do they look like?
I don't know. I'm not sure. What the Maybe you just, I don't know. Are you supposed to look unkempt? Are you supposed to look dirty? Maybe.
I brush my teeth like four times a day.
Yeah. Do you really?
Yeah.
Four times. Wow. Well, you're topping me there.
Sometimes I have, you know, bad habits.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Yeah. I like to brush.
All right. Well, so we'll get to your mean text coming up in less than 15 minutes. As we talked about earlier in the show, in case you're just tuning in, the Kraken get win number one in franchise history. And I would think, I'm curious for casual fans, not the hardcore, not hockey fans are going to be there. You're in. But I'm wondering if the first two games have been compelling enough for the casual fan who really doesn't know much about hockey, who's like, let me just check this out, see what I think of it. Has it won you over? Are you like, hey, I'm in. I'm enjoying this. Or are you feeling like, I'm not entertained or I don't understand it? I'm just, for those that are really new to the sport, I'm wondering how these games have been received.
Yeah.
Because I think they've been compelling. I think they've been really fun to watch. And it's coming from somebody who doesn't know all the rules. I didn't grow up with hockey. We haven't had a team here. We never talk about hockey. So we're all kind of learning this together.
Yeah. Well, and I'll drag out the same quote I had earlier. I thought it was going to be a hassle to have to watch hockey.
That was a thought in your head. Oh, great.
Great. Now we got to cover another sport.
I got a hockey game I got to watch. Jeez. What a grind.
It's awesome, man. I'm glad I sort of had that because, you know, you get sort of the whiplash effect that, like, I like it that much more. I was so surprised and pleasantly surprised how fun it is to watch. And, you know, and I've heard people say, oh, it's like soccer on ice. And the way Morosi described it, like, there is a lot of – well, certainly there's nobody flopping on the ice.
I think if somebody gets hurt, they're hurt.
They're really hurt.
This is real.
Yeah. And these guys are just regularly pounding on each other, and it's very physical.
Mm-hmm.
And the skill level. And like you said before, Bob, you know, the fighting part is one thing. Doing it on skates is another. It's a totally different animal. So that is, to me, what has stood out and what's been fun to watch. And I know that I'm going to really love watching the defensemen. You know, yeah. I was watching them last night, just the work that they do and how they're working around the goalie. You don't want to get in the way of the goalie. And then, you know, like you were saying, how's the goalie even keep his eyes on the puck?
Yeah, with all that commotion in front of him. And you see where the action is. You see where everybody's sort of congregating, if you will. But it seems like it'd be with a mask on, you got these big defensemen in front of you, it'd be a nightmare trying to locate the puck. So I've got a lot of respect for goalie. I would not want to be a goalie. Yeah. Having somebody fire that thing at me at 100 miles an hour or however fast those things are coming at you, and maybe your vision is blocked by a defenseman passing in front of you, and here comes this object at you. I mean, that's a thankless job, I think, being a goalie. But some big moments started by the man they called the Dunner. Dunner, Vince Dunn, gets into the first fight in Kraken history.
Jared McCann, activity in back of the play. Vince Dunn in a battle with Yakov Trenin. Trenin has a size advantage here, but high marks to Vince Dunn for dropping the mitts and taking on this guy.
Dropping the mitts, taking on this guy. And he did. He did. It was cool. And then he had the empty net goal, which I thought, because that was it about a minute left in the game, Lefko, or maybe a little less when they scored that? The empty net goal?
Oh, the empty net. Yeah, there was about a minute or so.
So you're thinking, okay, they're just going to make this comfortable. It's 4-2. You know, like, all right, just piling on a little bit. But it turned out to be crucial because they came back and scored right away, make it 4-3. But here's the empty netter from Tanev.
A handoff for Appleton. Empty net. Just wide off a stick. McCann in front. Bullseye. It's Brandon Tanev with his second of the game. And Seattle has a two-goal lead.
And the head coach, happy with the aggression, happy with how things turned out, obviously, especially from Vince Dunn.
You know, Dunner gets in a, you know, a great scrap, you know, big hit, great scrap. You know, that ends up turning the game for us. You know, our power play did a great job in that sense. We earned that power play. The power play's there. The PP did a very good job pushing us in the right direction. And I just thought, you know, in the second period, I thought we did a better job. I thought we won the line change game during the second period, especially in the second half of that period. We were able to hold the puck, get good line changes, and I thought we had a little bit better energy, and that led to time of possession.
Dunner, I thought that same thing.
Yeah,
Dunner, the line change.
The PP was good, though, Dave.
Hey, a couple of things also. Roman Josi, is it? Is that guy a good player? Because he had a slap shot that was ridiculous. And then also when there was an empty net, he like dove and deflected that shot, and it went wide, and I'm like, how'd they miss on an empty net? Because he was about just past mid-ice. And I don't even know if that's how you say that. Middle ice. Middle of the ice hockey
center
arena.
Center ice. Maybe they call it center ice.
Thank you, Bob. But, yeah, he just a heroic play by him blocking that. But they ended up getting the empty net goal anyway. But, anyway, just the skill level. Really, in watching the effort and everything. And if you go back and look at that play where he deflects the empty net shot, yeah, it's impressive. And you look at the way that, and he, yeah, I think he had another goal that was a slap shot, but just really so skillful and so much effort and so much speed and explosion. And just like, that's kind of how Morosi was describing it. I kind of watched it in that sense last night, and really comes through.
Yeah. Is, you think this will be enough to fill the void left by the Mariners? For me, not
yet.
So, not
man.
Yet, because just because I don't know the sport, I don't know the players. I don't,
well,
you know, grew up playing baseball, just grew up loving the Mariners, you know, living and dying with them. I understand everything makes sense to me out there. Hockey, I'm still going, okay, wait. So nobody gets penalized for a fight. Interesting. Yeah. They can sit there and smack each other in the face. There's no flag like in football where we see somebody just even look at a player these days and there's a 15-yard penalty.
Like last night.
Yeah, these guys got a hold of each other and they're throwing blows and all right, no penalty.
Yeah,
that's the hardest part for me at this point, to figure out what you can do and what you can't do. What's going to get you put in the penalty box versus what doesn't?
Yeah, I saw after a guy attempted a shot, one of the Kraken defensemen just like grabbed him around the neck almost. And then the guy didn't even react. Like, these guys are the least sensitive dudes ever, because you get pushed and hit and everything. Remember one of the Hansen brothers in the movie Slapshot?
Yeah.
He's standing in front of the net and he gets pushed and he just turns around and just clocks the guy. Like, you would think it would be more like that, but these guys are, you know, there's a lot of little things that could, you know, possibly annoy you. So as you're watching them kind of hit the guy with the stick or shoulder him, it's like, at what point does it go too far? Or are you just in a bad mood where you decide to throw the mitts down?
I don't know. They all seem pretty tolerant. They all seem pretty patient with being shoved around, and they'll kind of shove back, not even looking, just kind of whatever.
Yeah, I was telling my wife, I'm like, look at that guy. He just keeps pushing the other guy. Why didn't you punch him in the face?
And he's just taking it.
Yeah.
He's taking it. But, yeah, it's so far, it's two games,
but
82-game season, but it's been fun, and hopefully it fills that void and carries you over. And, they're good. You hope that they're a good team and they're compelling in that way. But just something that fills that spot left by the Mariners.
Well, and you talk about the Mariners. Why do we love them so much? Because we got to know them, right? Or at least we felt like we did. like, you know, Taylor Trammell, and not that he was a big part of it, but, you know, the post-game interviews, everything. You felt like you knew these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You felt like, you know, and so is when you start to put a face with a name and see these guys' personalities, that's when I think it'll fill the void. As soon as we get to know these guys, and I'm, you know, hoping we're going to be able to get some interviews and talk to the coach. We've talked to GM Ron Francis. We've talked to Dave Hackstall, the coach.
Talked to the owner or CEO.
CEO and yeah. Todd Leiwicki, who's so gracious and getting us some tickets to the Foo Fighters. And so
awesome.
Yeah. I think once we get to know those guys and do interviews with them, see what their personalities are. Who's the guy who's had the crazy
Tanev.
Crazy-eyed
Tanev with
picture?
His team photo. It's awesome.
Yeah, check out Tanev. His team photo is like, did you do that on purpose?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Hey, by the way, Lefko, it almost seems like it's foolish to get too attached to any player because there are a lot of trades in hockey, right? I mean, the idea that anybody sticks with one team for their career.
Core. You're not trading the core of your team, your stars. I mean, salary cap's always going to impact it, but
I feel like there's a lot of
how many guys
you're not getting
rid of, your goal you're not getting rid of. You can become attached to these players.
But I mean, like the great play, like how many teams did Gretzky play for? How many teams did Lindros play for?
Well,
how many teams did
Messier
play
for? Yeah, but he was on teams for a while. I mean, Edmonton for a long time. Then he went to L.A. towards the end of his career. You know, so
played in St. Louis.
That's, again, end of his career, right?
Yeah, did he play in Phoenix?
So you got the Michael Jordan thing going on.
Yeah.
You got the Emmitt Smith with the Cardinals going on.
You got Messier, you got Lindros, all these guys, they switch teams.
You can get attached. You can get attached to guys.
Hey, can you guys tweet out on our show, the show tweeter, Brandon Tanev's
the show tweeter.
Okay. Tweet out the headshot.
Crazy eyes.
I'll tweet it. Okay,
I think Kraken tweeted that out.
Yeah,
saying they're,
just
okay. We'll retweet that from them.
Yeah, we'll retweet on the tweeter. All right. Mean text coming your way next. So you still have a few minutes. 421-3776. That's 421-ESPN, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Send in your mean text. We unveil your venom next with Wyman and Bob on 710-ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort on 710-ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Boom. Roasted.
Roasted. You got to like when they're a champion of their own tweet.
I like that
or
one.
Text. I love it. Speaking of tweets, I just retweeted the picture Dave was requesting. It comes from the Seattle Kraken's Twitter account. It says, one more friendly reminder that Brandon Tanev is our leading goal scorer. And it's got that picture there, which is just classic. So if you're on Twitter, you can find it at Bob Stelton. I just retweeted it. All right, Lefko, what do we got? What have they brought to the table today?
A lot came in on Tuesday. And
Tuesday.
What was Tuesday?
Tuesday
Dave,
was
Dave
the day
was not
Dave
here.
Was gone. Yeah. So they just felt safe.
A lot came in then.
Oh,
a lot,
really?
Well, primarily because they loved Robert Turbin. Oh. So he did well, but there were some that they're quite funny. I won't read all of them saying, wow, we wish Turbin was here instead of Dave every day.
You don't want to rip Turbo.
No, they weren't ripping him.
Okay.
And in fact, Bob explained to Turbin mean text, so he was looking at the text thing. So here's one. 206 says, I would never be mean to Turbin. He's awesome. Also has relevant commentary. I'll have to wait till tomorrow for stories about the NFL 30 years ago.
By the way, I just got a boom roasted as well.
Oh, did you?
What did they get you on?
Out of work PE teacher?
Yeah. This person, guy or girl, said, Dave looks like he wears socks with his sandals. Boom, roasted. Bob looks like an out-of-work PE teacher. Boom, roasted.
Got to appreciate the Michael Scott there when they throw that boom roasted on it. Another one on Turbin, 509. Bob sounds super nervous talking to Turbo. He's probably hoping that Turbo doesn't dig up the stories that Bob wrote about him.
Yeah, that was in reference to Condota.
Yeah. It was funnier thinking it was you.
Did you have Condota on that?
Yeah, we did. And, you know, Condota always sounds like he's packing or doing something as he's talking to you. He's kind of got that energy.
Not
going.
As funny then. I thought he meant you.
No, he was talking about Condota.
That makes more sense. Stories, but here's one about you and Turbin. 907. Turbin's biceps are bigger than Bob's head.
It's probably just true. I don't know if that's
not very nice. That's not saying much.
It's not holding Turbin to a very high standard of working out. His arms are huge. He's got like legs hanging off his shoulders.
He's like working out twice a day or something?
Yeah, he's still training. He's ready to play.
All right, one more to wrap up our Turbin section. 415, Wyman is way younger and better looking than I remember. And this was on Tuesday when you weren't here.
So he's they were looking at a picture of him. Yeah. I gotcha.
He was watching Robert Turbin.
Yeah, I see. Okay. I was like, wow, that was really didn't hurt at all. That's really nice, actually.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound mean at all.
I had to explain the funny. Sorry, yeah, like you did.
Just don't explain the funny out of it.
Yeah. Well, we've seen that happen. All right. Anyway,
the 253. The Nashville Predators might have mustard yellow shirts, but Bob spills mustard all over his shirt.
We read that earlier. Is that a shot? I don't get. Is that clever? Am I missing something? Because I saw that person saying, "Hey, mustard guy here," and then it was like they gave me another one that was very similar to that one. Like that's not really a good shot.
We got mustard guy. We got numbnuts. Yeah. Remember the one guy's like
one. It says
the one guy is like I'm with numbnuts. Yeah, get him out of
awesome.
There. So
that was one of the best texts we've got. I'm with numbnuts, Dave. That was great.
907 says, Wyman, I'd say something mean, but I can't remember what I was going to say.
It was in reference to the other. It was a couple segments ago. I was like, what was I talking about again?
Yeah, what was my point?
You know what the trigger was? Moyer.
Moyer.
It's Moyer's fault.
Blame him.
Yeah, I said something about Moyer and percentage of. He said he had the percentage of Russ's contract or whatever. Anyway, yeah. Just lost train of thought there. It's funny how our conversations sometimes will go down. You ever stop? I used to do that every once in a while and go, hey, how'd we get here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just take a left turn somewhere.
There
and
you go.
Oh, okay.
253, not to jump to conclusions, but has anyone ever seen Bob and Quagmire the same place at the same time? Giggity.
Quagmire?
Family Guy
reference.
Okay, gotcha.
I added the giggity.
He did.
Yeah.
That was good.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
He's a character. Cartoon character.
Okay. I don't watch cartoons anymore.
So. He's the one that's like, all right.
I'm actually kind of nervous to read this one, so don't shoot the messenger here, Bob. 206. Bob, your dog is ugly. Wyman, so is your face.
Oh, you know what? That's a low blow.
That's crossing a line.
Yeah. Don't talk about Bob's dog.
I know, that's kind of mean.
Ever talk about Frank that way.
I was nervous.
Plus, Frank is cutest dog ever.
He's adorable.
Should we figure out if they want to meet in the parking lot?
Yeah, give them the address.
Okay. Yeah.
Respond to that text.
That way, if you do it, I don't get in trouble again.
425. With his references to Bob's karate, ice hockey, emphasis on ice, and NFL guarding versus covering, Dave has single-handedly alienated MMA, NHL, and Madden NFL fans. Dave, can I hear your take on golf?
You want to alienate golf fans next.
Golf, it's people who hit things with a stick. So the guarding thing, sorry, no. I haven't done that one. I did the other two, though. Ice hockey, and what was the other one?
Karate.
Yeah, karate.
Yeah, karate.
Yeah, I was calling it ice hockey for some reason, and Groz called me on it. It's like, hey, you got to stop doing that.
Because you emphasized ice hockey.
I don't know why. I was thinking about what the next thing I was going to say, and I said, yeah, an ice hockey team here, and then I said ice hockey.
He's like, field stop. Hockey. There's field hockey.
Well, that's what he told me. He goes, there's no other
Grosh shut that
kind
down
of
fast.
Hockey. And I said, I dated a very combative girl who played field hockey at Michigan State. I know that there's
very
another
combative.
Kind of hockey.
As he made the point, though, there's no professional field hockey here.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. All right, we'll close with
this. Was just trying to win the argument.
I think he did that one, though. We'll close with this one. 253. Bob looks like the kind of guy who orders Michelob Ultra and says, I used to drink real beer, but it goes straight to my hips, and I had to make a change.
Okay. All righty. Right to my hips. Oh, boy. All right. Does that do it?
Yeah, we got it.
You want to end on that one? Okay. There we go.
Pretty good effort. Good comeback.
All right.
Based on what we had earlier.
That does it for us. I want to thank our guest today, Seth Wickersham, John Clayton, for joining us on the program. If you missed any of today's show, or any day, for that matter, you know the drill. Just head to 710sports.com, click that podcast tab, scroll down to our picture and click on that. Everything you missed is waiting there for you each and every day. We're going to send you into Game 1 of the American League Championship Series between the Astros and the Red Sox. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.